We welcome you this morning once more to the house of God, and where you're meeting, in your home, around your computer with your family. We're certainly glad that you're able to tune in with us online today for our service here in Toronto, Canada. You know, God has blessed us with one more opportunity that we might settle ourselves, open the scripture, open our hearts, and give praise to Him, to exalt the Lord our Savior with our souls, our minds, our hearts, with all our being, to say that Jesus' name is high over all, high above all, and we want His name to be magnified today in our life. And as God gives us grace and faith, we'd be able to say with sincerity, whether it be by my life or by my death, that the Lord would be increased, magnified, His name would be honored. So may God give to us that grace that is so essential, so necessary today. Let's worship God, lifting our hearts in praise to Him, Jesus' name high over all. Number 31, if you're using our hymnal. And you know, with the breath that God has given to us, whether it is in the ordinary course of our life, or may it be, dear believer, in the last breath that God gives to you or me, let us have a mind, a heart, a will to proclaim His name. Let Him be lifted up high above all. That is our hope. It is our joy. It is a great privilege that you and I have in this life that God allows us to speak the name of His Son, that God the Father allows us to be engaged, involved in exalting Him. Well, let that be our life purpose. Let it be all in all for us. Let's seek the Lord, please, now in prayer and bow our hearts and our heads before Him this morning. Father, we come into Thy holy presence today, and once more, Lord, with thanksgiving on our hearts for the privilege we have of praying, the privilege of seeking the face of our great God. Lord, we come to ask for the help of the Holy Spirit in our worship this day. We pray, Lord, for help as we pray and read the Word, and as we open the Scriptures, that there would be help given to every believer. That there would be, Lord, instruction from the Word, from the youngest to the oldest. And we ask, Lord, that today will not be a wasted day, will not be a time, Lord, where we just kind of put in our effort. But Lord, we pray that the Word of God would come to our hearts with meaning and with power and with purpose, so that, Lord, we might go on with our God. We might be strengthened with might, Lord, in the inner man. We would understand, Father, what it means to die unto ourselves, so that we might live unto righteousness and to the end everlasting life. Father, we pray that the name of the Savior would be glorified in our everyday lives. We pray again, Father, that we would have opportunity to share our faith and to witness for the Lord, whether it is a spoken word, or, Father, whether it is simply the word that is given from our testimony, the silent word, so to speak. Father, make use of us, I pray. Help us not to be led astray by the wicked one. We pray that Satan would be defeated in all our lives, that he would not get the upper hand on us, that he would not be able to cause our thinking to be skewed, cause thoughts to be put in our minds which are going to take away and rob us of the joy of fellowship with our God and Savior. Lord, come, we pray, and work deeply in our hearts. I pray the Word of God would be planted in our souls, in our minds, so that we would think right. We would think, Lord, according to the Scripture. And our first impulse when we come to make a judgment would be according to the Word of God, that we would have wisdom and discernment. Lord, we can gain knowledge by the world, but I pray that we would have the wisdom of the Spirit of God upon us. And Father, you have said that if any man lack wisdom, if any person needs this, to come and ask, because, Lord, you've promised to give to all people liberally, fully, completely. And we ask that today. Lord, bless us. Remember today all the needs we have in our congregation. Remember those who have been bereaved recently. We again pray for Suzanne and Karen to support them and strengthen them. We ask for blessing upon those others in our fellowship who have had to deal with the loss of a loved one and are still, in some senses, picking up the pieces. Lord, bless them and help them and strengthen them. I pray that each one of us would know the strength of the Lord as we go forward in our work, in our interaction with people. And certainly, Lord, in this time of being shut down, where it's not so easy to get out and do the normal things at all, Lord, I pray that our testimony would not be hindered, but we would look for new opportunities, new ways. Lord, you would bless all of our communication. Bless our email communication. Lord, bless the texting communication. Bless the words that are written down and put forward in social media platforms. Ever, Lord, guide what we are saying and guide our testimony to always honor the Savior. Dear Father, bless us. We think of the need we have in our nation, our province, our city. And we again pray for our leaders, as we have been commanded to do. Lord, we want to be able to respect our leaders. Sadly, Lord, so many times we see them flaunting evil and putting forward great wickedness. And Lord, we pray that they would be restrained from such things. They would be confounded in their attempts to overturn the scriptural principles of our land and nation. Help us, Lord, in this regard. Let us be a strong witness and a testimony in our time. Father, enable us to do what we can do. And the greatest thing we can do is to pray as you've commanded us, because we want the hand and the arm of God to move in our generation. And we're asking, Lord, to do this within us and through us. And we are co-laborers with our God. And therefore, Father, we lift up our hearts today. We lift up our hands in praise and thanksgiving. And we lift up our heart's desire and say, Lord, come and make use of us. Use us in whatever way, Lord, you deem fit and suitable. And for this to happen, Lord, we know that we must be clean, clean vessels. We pray that we will be sanctified and cleansed and forgiven, and Lord, that the Word of God would wash our minds. By the Word that we have received, by the Scriptures that we memorize, by the reading of the Word of God day by day, let it come into our being, and let the testimony and the light of Christ shine through us in this way. Father, bless now all the needs we have in the fellowship, in our denomination, across the nation of Canada, the United States. Bless our brethren, our churches down there. We ask for all of our missionaries and the mission stations that we have. We pray, Lord, that you would watch over them. And we think today of the persecuted church, of those in nations that are shutting down and closing. And we pray for the Christians in China today. We pray for the Christians in India and places where persecution is mounting, and in Islamic countries where there is no freedom. We think of those believers in North Korea. We ask, Lord, that you would restrain the evil influences and nations and cause those who are in those places to flourish and grow and be built up in their most holy faith. Father, help us to support them in prayer, to support them in every way that we can. We pray for every faithful minister of the gospel in our nation or in across the globe. Lord, bless them, we pray. Let today be a day of the sound of abundance of spiritual rain. Let today be a day of salvation. Lord, hear our prayer. We bring back again, as we think of those in our own fellowship, from the youngest children. Lord, bless the boys and girls in our church. Bless the young people, the young adults. Lord, remember in every stage of our Christian journey. We pray that those in the senior years of their Christian experience, they will yet bear fruit in their senior years and time. Lord, take away discouragement and despondency, and turn our eyes, turn every heart, again to look full in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, hear this our prayer today. We ask in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Let's worship the Lord again by song, in singing Psalm 95. Thank you. We know that it's not always the easiest thing when you're at your home and you're seeing the words come across the screen to enter into the same way that we would normally do in the house of God as we come to praise Him. But in these times, we must find a way, and we will do that with our hearts, to worship in song and in our praise to Him. Oh, come and let us sing unto the Lord. Let us worship Him with all that we have. We're going to read today from the book of Exodus, chapter 14. The 14th chapter of Exodus, starting at verse 10 down to 19. This portion of the Word of God, well, it has to do with Israel having fled from Egypt, and they are making their way out, and Pharaoh, realizing what he has done and allowing all of his working crew, slaves, to go, well, he sends out his army after them. Israel is filled with fear, and rightly so, because they're trapped with a sea in front of them. They're trapped with wilderness on one side, mountains on the other, and Pharaoh's army coming hot against them. And you know, believer, as we consider this account, it's similar to the way we can feel in our lives at times. All forces against us, nowhere to go, trapped in, hemmed in on every side. Well, what can we do? We see how the Lord helped His people here. Let's pick up our reading then at verse 10. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you this day. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen this day, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. May God bless His own precious word as we have read today, and my great words of encouragement. No doubt there was a great lack of faith in many who were part of the mixed multitude that had come out, and the people were saying, we should never have left. We should never have stepped out. Moses, we should never have listened to you. But Moses, by the Spirit of God, stilled the people, and he said, God, the Lord, shall fight for you today. And then the Lord said to Moses, it's time. Lift up your rod. Let the sea be divided. And speak to the people that they go forward. May God write His word upon us. Give us faith in our time that no matter what opposition there is, that we will by faith keep going and that we will go on with our God from strength to strength. May the Lord bless His word to us this very day. Let me welcome you all once more to another Lord's Day service here in Toronto, and we pray, as always, that the Lord would bless His word to you. As we are here in Ontario under a provincial guideline lockdown, we are restricted to just 10 people within the church service, and so we have those who are operating and helping, making sure all the service runs well, and then one or two others who are here with us today, and we certainly want to welcome them, old and young, today in our meeting. We're happy that you are here. We want to just bring you an update on the funeral service that was conducted here in the church last Wednesday for Dr. Luis Fernandez. We knew the Lord's help, and we want to thank you all for your prayers. And on behalf of Suzanne and Karen, we certainly extend a warm thanks to all the people who have been supportive of them and all that heard the Word of God. And prayer continues to be that for family members and others who were watching online that heard the Word, that God would work in their hearts and save their precious, never-dying souls and bring comfort to all the family members who lost a loved one at that time. Let me also bring you a quick update on our FPC Young Adult Connect meeting. We held the second one last night, 7 p.m., and it was a good turnout of young people from across Canada, mainly from our church in Calgary, here in Toronto. And we had a couple of visitors that were joining in as well, along with our brother Andrew Simpson from our church in Prince George. Let me encourage you to remember in prayer our youth, young adults from across our country, that God would bless, encourage the hearts, for everyone needs a word of encouragement at this time, and certainly our young adults are no different. So do please remember them in prayer. Brother Backhurst, the minister of our Calgary congregation, brought a word last night, and we pray that God would use that word in the hearts of each one who heard. Let me ask you to remember, please, in prayer, our staff in our Whitfield Christian School and the students and the parents, because as we know, the opening of school in our academy has been postponed for another 2 weeks at least to the 25th of January. Though at this point in time, with all the uncertainty, no one's going to bank on when the school will be reopened again. We just pray that God would give much grace. And I would ask you to pray for our staff members. This is certainly an added burden upon their responsibilities of teaching. And it's not easy in the online ministry. And we know what that's about from day-to-day Lord's Days and how it's difficult to speak to a camera and not have real souls in front of you to present the Word of God. And as they're teaching classes, it's not easy. So do pray for them, but pray for the students, because it's so difficult to conduct proper learning when you're not in a classroom environment, old and young. And we would ask for the Lord to continue to help us during this time. And for the parents, because they have the students at home with them, and you've got multiplied problems of, well, devices that need to be used, and well, the internet that needs to be logged on to, and all of those things. We need much help from the Lord at this time. Do please remember the announcements for the rest of today and the incoming week, our service this afternoon of prayer at 5:50, and then our evening service at 6:30. And then with the prayer meeting, our weekly Bible study and prayer meeting will be on Zoom on Wednesdays at 7:30. And we also want to remind you that we're going to be holding a congregational three nights of prayer, January 25th, 26th, and 27th, at the same time, 7:30. And we do pray that God will unite us again and give us a focus and a burden and a vision to be praying for our church and for our congregation and for all the needs that we have. The ladies' women's Bible study will be starting up again the last Thursday of each month. And so that will be right on the 26th of January, following our nights of prayer. And do remember, ladies, those special Bible studies. Now, if you would like to be a part of that, do send an email to the church website and email address. And there we would then be able to send you a specific email and link for the women's Bible studies. And if you know someone else who would like to be a part of this, you make sure that their email is also sent in. If you want to tag that to your own, that's fine, so that they get their specific connection information sent to them. Please remember in prayer the sick of our congregation. We'd hold up again Dr. Ruth Slade in your prayers, that our sister would know the hand of the Lord in her own health needs, and praying for all the appointments that she has to have coming up, just that God would be very, very dear to her at this time and would give the doctors the necessary wisdom, and she would know the presence and the help of the Lord. And the other sick ones and the elderly that are in our congregation, that God would pour out His Spirit upon them and bless them. Let us all be praying in our time that God would give us peace and truth in our days. He would give wisdom and understanding, and that as believers we would know the times, the seasons that we're in. God would grant to us great wisdom and understanding. We might know how to take our stand in this day and to be a witness that is true and right according to God's holy word. We don't want to be behind the will of God. We don't want to rush ahead. But as we often pray, that we will be in the center of God's perfect will. Let's worship Him again in song number 471 in our hymnal. We're pressing on to higher ground, and that's our prayer today. Let's praise God. Thank you. Please turn with me now in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6. The book of Hebrews chapter 6, while you're turning up there, let me remind you again of our daily Bible reading booklet that we have. And if you would like to get a copy of this and you don't have one, a hard copy, then please send us an email with your address. We'll be sure to mail one out to you right away. And we do have the PDF format of this on our website, and you can get a copy of that so that you do not get behind in the reading of the Word of God every single day throughout this year. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted of the good word of God, and of the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth, which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. And may God bless once more His own precious word to our hearts as we have read. Let's bow, please, and ask the Lord's help in His word today. Father, as we have the Word of God in our hands and we trust in our hearts, we pray for understanding, for the application by the Holy Spirit to our lives. Lord, for any listening today who are not believers, we pray for their soul salvation. We ask, Lord, that they would be brought into the light of Christ, be brought out of darkness, and into a living relationship with Him, whom to know is life everlasting. And Father, I pray that for each one of us who are truly born again of the Spirit of God, that we would go on in our Christian walk, that we would, though facing many oppositions, as Israel did in the Old Testament, that we will see the hand of God revealed, showing us the way we are to go, and giving us, we pray, the power of the Holy Ghost within our hearts, saying, Lord, I am going on with God. And I'm going forward, no matter what opposition may come. Give us, therefore, that faith that is so necessary, Lord. Indeed, we often pray, Lord, increase our faith. Though our faith is very weak, yet today we stand knowing we have faith in a strong Savior. And let that be our daily experience. Give me help today, Lord, I pray, Take away every distraction from my own mind, for I am susceptible to that, Lord, as anyone is. And I pray that Satan will be defeated. You would give me every word that needs to be spoken and apply the truth again to each one of our hearts. Lord, hear our prayer today and bless us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The opening verse of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, really the five words that are given to us, we have looked at them in time past. They are familiar words to many, many believers. Let us go on unto perfection. Thinking about what it means for us as believers to go forward with our God. Forward with our God. Last Lord's Day, we started our service with a solemn dedication of ourselves and of our families to God for 2021. I ask those who were here in the church and those of you at home to stand as we prayed, dedicating ourselves, dedicating our families, dedicating our business, our education, everything we put our hand to commit it into the hand of God for this incoming year. It is a good thing, friend, to consciously renew our devotion to Christ and to recommit our lives to Him, praying that we will be used in His service for whatever remaining days we have in our life. But I say this to you, if you're not a believer today, at the very beginning of this message and at the beginning of this year, you cannot renew yourself to God. You cannot recommit yourself to Him if you are not a believer. And so I impress upon you with all the authority of God through Christ. Indeed, I say as the Apostle Paul did, I stand in Christ's place. And I exhort you today, it's time to get right with God. You cannot delay. Don't put it off. What would hinder you now from saying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner? Cry out to the Lord and say, God, come into my heart. Repent, sinner, of your sin. And say, it's time for me to be saved. You do not know what this year will bring for you. You cannot determine. You cannot say, I know that I have tomorrow. I know I have next month, next year. We think like that so often. And maybe you think like that as well. Maybe you think, oh, it hasn't happened to me. Death happens to someone else. But it's not going to happen to me. I've got my whole life in front of you. And then in a moment, some sickness hits you you were not expecting. Some accident that happens in a car or some other vehicle, and in a moment, things are changed. In a moment, you are hurled out into eternity. Friend, I impress this upon you today. Do not presume and think you have so much time in front of you. For now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And so as you consider this, the only way in which you could think about dedicating your life to God is that in the first place you must know Him. You must be a child of the King. You must have your sins washed away by the Lord. Christian, rededication does not have to be earth-shattering. That may hinder us sometimes from saying, oh, I got to rededicate my life to the Lord. I, There has to be some great thing happening here. No, there doesn't. It does not have to be earth-shattering in order to be legitimate. But it does require this. It requires the sincerity of your heart, of my soul. It requires a desire to give your life into the Lord's hand and say, Lord, I want you to take what I am and what I have. Indeed, Lord, I give, I present, I put on the altar of sacrifice all that I am and all that I have. And I don't want that just to be a sound bite. I don't want it, Lord, just to be something that, oh, it sounds right to be said at a certain time like this. No, no, we're past that. We don't want that kind of stuff. What we want, Christian, what we need, believer, is, yes, to come with a sincere heart. And God gives us opportunities like this, like the beginning of a new year, to say, this is a good time. Say, Lord, I present myself on the altar of sacrifice for service. I am saying, Lord, to you today, I give myself into your hands. For whatever time I have left, I don't know. But for wherever the journey of life will take me, I'm not sure. But I want, Lord, to be useful in the service of the King. I want, Lord, to go forward with God. I don't want it to be a cliche. I don't want it to sound like something that's been before I've said, and there hasn't been a lot of meaning in it. But you know, I say this to you also solemnly. Before you can take such a step, Christian, of saying, I dedicate my life to the Lord, we all must count the cost of what that means. Are we prepared for what would come from making such a statement? Because what if as a result of making such a statement, God came and required all that we have? To speak the words is one thing, but it's entirely different if we're actually called to give. You know, I speak to myself in this, because preachers are very good at taking a text of Scripture like this, you know, presenting the sermon, putting it all together, and then presenting it for everyone else. But I know that as I speak this word, it has to be for me as well, or else it really is meaningless. When we think about this today, when I think about it, I have to practice what I am preaching, because no different is required of me than what I am saying to someone else. Because the word would often come back, physician, heal yourself. Preacher, practice what you're preaching. And I know there's times we all are somewhat hypocritical in the things that we say and do. And maybe deep in the heart, we don't want that to happen. We don't want that to be the case. But too often it might be. And so we come and say, Lord, search through our lives and minds and hearts. Search through us and help us to come and say, I know this, Lord. My faith might be weak, but I want to serve God. I want to live my life. I want to make a difference. Then come and take and use me for whatever I have and am. Whatever God will ask of us, whether it's trial or surrender, if we say, I want to go forward with God because I want to be more conformed to the person of my Savior. I know that's why I've been created. I know that's why I have been saved. And Lord, I want to see that coming to pass. A new year gives us an opportunity to renew devotions to God, being fully aware of the limitations of resolutions and new resolutions, which oftentimes fizzle out within a couple of weeks of a new calendar year. And therefore, I speak today to all of us. Do you want to go forward with God? Do you want to go on with Him? Then, in your own heart, believer, in your own soul, you have to come to that point of saying, yes, Lord, I surrender all. I give myself, Lord, into your hands. But I understand too, Lord, that I cannot do this by myself. I have to prove the sufficiency of God's grace in this, in every time of my faltering, in every time of my fainting. And I say, Lord, give me the grace that I need, and I will go on to serve, that the Savior might be lifted up and magnified in our life, that less of ourselves will be seen and more of Him will be seen in our life. It's a tall order. It is a tall order. And the tall order that we think about today, it was no different in the day in which Paul, the apostle, wrote to the Hebrews, because the Hebrew Christians also struggled in the same area. They were hindered. They were hindered in a way because their faith was not as mature as it should have been. They had some deficiency. And so they had some doctrinal points that they weren't quite clear on, and it caused them to stumble and to trip. And they had a feeling that, well, if I come to Christ and I'm saved, and they believed they were, but they did not really have a grasp on what that meant. They did not have assurance of their salvation. And so they doubted. And so they thought that, well, we could be saved one day and we could fall away the next day. And so they lacked what it was to have full gospel assurance of their salvation. They doubted. Doubting themselves is one thing, but ultimately what they did not realize is that their doubting was a doubting of God, because that's the end of that road. You see, if we are doubting our salvation, yes, we have uncertainty in self, but we're really ultimately doubting the word that God has spoken to us, and further from that, we're doubting the work that Jesus did on the cross for us. That's where the doubting leads to. And so these Hebrew Christians, when they came to that point, they were ignorant of it. And Paul said to them, you know, instead of you being teachers to other people, you still have need to be taught yourself, your students. Now, we all know that we are all students in the journey of Christian life and learning more and more from the Scriptures. But Paul was mentioning by the Spirit of God, not laying again the foundation of their faith. Because once the foundation has been laid, and once you know there are doctrines that you have on you, you don't need to go and revisit those again, believer. You know that Christ died for you. You don't have to go and revisit that doctrine again. Well, am I sure? Did He die for me? Am I certain He died for me? No. And what about the doctrine of baptism? You've come to determine your belief in Christ, and you want to follow Him through the water of baptism and declare your testimony. Let that be certain and sure. Don't come and doubt about that thing again. And what about the resurrection, both of Christ from the dead and of the hope that you and I have that we will one day be resurrected from the dead when Christ returns? These are solid doctrinal truths of the Word of God. But if you start to vacillate or doubt some of these things, it's going to have an impact, Christian, on your growth. And really what it means is that you are remaining in infancy. You haven't developed much in your Christian walk. You haven't got past the A, B, C's of your Christian experience. And the Lord wants us to get past that point. He wants us to get past that spiritual infancy that we had when we first came to Jesus. Because when we first came to the Lord, everything was new to us. But as we developed in our walk with the Lord, yes, we were able to say, those things I will not question anymore. Those things I'll not doubt any further, because I know them. Because I know the Lord who has revealed them to me in His Word, and I know the Spirit of God bears witness with those things in my heart, and I don't want to doubt them any further. And friend, if you're still in that place today, believer, and the devil is still chipping away at that foundation, and still bothering you with doubts about your own salvation, it's important to get that matter settled. It's important to come to God with that doubt and say, Lord, I'm wrestling here. Bring that doubt to God. Do that. Bring it back to His Word and say, Lord, I need to have this matter settled once and for all. I cannot afford to doubt this any further in my life because it's hindering my walk. It's hindering me going forward with God. And I must go on with the Lord. So what do you do? Oh, Christian, you bring those doubts to God honestly and openly and humbly. And you say, Lord, confirm to me from Your Word with absolute certainty, no longer doubting, that I am held by the hand of omnipotent power, and my salvation is certain and sure in Christ. And I dare not doubt any further, for in further doubting, I am dishonoring my Lord. I don't want to do that. So we come to stand upon the bedrock of our salvation. We stand upon the foundation of things we know, and we don't have to lay that foundation a second time, because indeed, it cannot be laid a second time. This is what the apostle is getting at in his teaching here. He's getting at this as reading through from verses 4 to 8. For he says, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift. This portion has raised a lot of questions about what apostasy is and how it's defined and who really is an apostate. Really, it's the teaching of the Holy Spirit that a true Christian cannot fall away from God. A true believer in Christ, it is impossible for you to fall away. Because, friend, it's like this. You are not the one that brought yourself into Christ. God did that. And you're not the one who is going to take yourself out of Christ, because He is the one who did that for you. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. And because our Savior has died and He has shed His blood to make atonement for our sin, the sins of His own elect people, when the Spirit of God draws you to His Son, to the Son of God, and you believe in Him, and you are brought into the family and fold of God, That is a work of divine grace. It's a work of sovereign power. It's a work of God. For with men it would be impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible, and our salvation is a miracle of divine grace. And that miracle of divine grace that whereby we are brought into the Lord is not something that at a whim or at a doubt we're taken out of the gospel or out of Christ. Because then our salvation would be a bit like a revolving door you see in a mall. It just keeps going around and around, and you just stay in it. You go in, you come out. You go in, you come out. No, friend, that's not the way salvation is. Once you are by faith in Christ, you are secure in Him forever. Some people would say that promoting such a doctrine or teaching it would make people think, oh, therefore I can live my life and have fun in the world and just go out and sin and do whatever I want because, hey, I'm saved. I can never be lost. Therefore, I'll go and live in the world and just enjoy the pleasures of sin. And so a person who thinks in that way does not have the mind of Christ in them. They do not have the heart of Christ in them. Because anyone who thinks, I can just go and enjoy sin and dishonor my Savior, and at the end we'll get it all cleaned up and all be good to go, they are a fool in their heart and mind. And they have deceived themselves and are deceived by Satan. And they have this false security. They're not really saved. Because no man, no woman that is really saved thinks in themselves, I could just go out and live like the world and enjoy all the wicked pleasures of sin and all will be good. No, friend. Because if you are in Jesus Christ today, you love Him and you want to honor Him. You do not want to dishonor the Lord. That's in your heart. And who put that there? It was the Spirit of God who put that and revealed Him to you in your own heart. Oh, friend, we know that there is such a thing as backsliding. The Bible speaks about it. The Bible speaks about those who are defined as carnal Christians, worldly minded in a sense, those who have gone away from God. I grant you there is a definition of Christian like that. But they will not remain in that position. There will be by the Holy Ghost a drawing back to Christ. And someone who continues to live their life in what is called a backslidden position, and they're happy to go along in that way. They're happy to say, well, just let me live my life. Oh yeah, I made a profession of faith 20 years ago when I was little, but I made a profession of faith, but I'm just going to live my life the way I want now. They're deceiving themselves. For someone who is truly in Christ and is backslidden, their life will not be happy. They will be miserable in themselves. Why? Because it's like a dog returning to his vomit. It's like a pig returning to the wallowing in the mire. A person who has been cleansed by Christ going back to the world cannot be satisfied. Full stop. And that, friend, is the indication if you are truly a believer in Christ. Do you have within your heart, as you are away from the Lord today, a disillusionment, a disappointment, dissatisfaction with the way you are? Yes, friend, it's time to leave your backsliding days. It's time to leave a life that is being wasted. You're throwing your days away instead of living out and out for the Lord Jesus Christ. God's calling you to to leave your backsliding, and He's calling you back to Himself. That's what He's doing. His Word is full of that. In the Old Testament, He said to His backsliding people, He said, I would plead with you all the day long to return to Me. That's the heart of God for you today. So don't use that as an excuse to keep going off in your days. We know the Bible has a lot to say about those who made a profession of faith. On the outside, they appeared to be good and godly, but on the inside, they were phony people. They weren't real. We have evidences of that in the Bible. Balaam is one of the most prominent examples in the Old Testament. He said, "Oh, that I might die the death of the righteous." He knew the words. He knew and had the dress, so to speak. He knew what it was like to even receive communication from God's Word. And yet Balaam was a false man. Balaam is in hell today because he was not a true follower of God. Yes, the Bible warns of those who have been in that state of putting on a show outwardly, deceived by the devil, no doubt. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 8, Paul warns, he says, "Brethren, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day, in the time of Israel wandering in the wilderness, the temptation time, when they tempted God." He said, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." In knowing the truth, in having it all before you, in having the presentation of God's Word before you, and let you take all those things, and yet you turn away from it at the end. No, friend. Flee to the Lord. Do not flee from Him. What Paul is saying to the Hebrews here in chapter 6, he is telling them that you have the evidence of all these things in front of you, of what it means to be a true follower of God. Enlightened, they've tasted of the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost, have tasted of the good Word of God, of the powers of the world to come. This is a definition of those who are truly regenerate, those who are truly saved. And he is saying to us today, those who possess that witness and testimony, believers, that foundation has been laid in your heart. And now, it's time to go on. Because Paul said it would be impossible for such a person to go away and then come back to be saved again. Because the whole point would be Christ died once for all. That's it. He's not dying a second time. And so if a person was truly had the foundation of all these things laid in their life, if they could take themselves out of that and then start all over again, and say, "Oh, I'm going to get saved all over again." No, no, no. That's impossible. Because Christ's atoning work is not applied two times in a person's experience. It's only ever applied once. Because once is good enough. Once is all that is needed. And never to be repeated. The once for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that believer is why you and I are called to go forward and to go on with God in our experience. Well, that has been a lengthy introduction to our message today. And I promise you I will be brief in giving you the points of encouragement for you today. In the first place is this. We must go forward with God in our own personal walk with Christ. This has been what we've been emphasizing, what we certainly do through our daily reading book to keep us on track. And whether you use this book or some other schedule, I've said to you before how important it is that you maintain, you promote, you work at your own daily personal relationship with the Lord. Because quite frankly, believer, if you're not walking with Christ, how can you go forward with Him? You can't. So there is therefore upon us the need of recognizing, I call myself a disciple of Christ. I call myself a follower of the Lord. In fact, I give myself the name Christian, which is a Christ one. And in that sense, I must go on with Him. You can't have devotion for someone else. No one else can have a devotion for you. Keep your own. You have to maintain this privately before the Lord yourself. Coming to church is important. Hearing the Word of God is vital. Having family fellowship around the Word of God is good, a necessary thing. But, friend, you have to maintain your own time alone with God. Human relationships, we know, are going to be maintained by working at them and caring for them. And just as a plant that you plant in your pot, it has to be watered. It has to be maintained, or else it will wither. And friend, it's important for us to be careful in these attitudes and ways. Because if we're going to become strong in our Christian walk, it's so essential that we follow the pattern that the Lord has given to us. And as God said to Joshua when he was taking over from Moses, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. That's a verse of Scripture worthy of your memory in Joshua 1:8. It sets forth a pattern. It's God's instruction for the way of success, the way of peace and happiness, the way of, not having no problem, but what to do when you are facing the issues of life. So important, believer. In Psalm 91, verse 1, we're told these words, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Dwelling in that secret place, abiding with God, meditating and studying His Word, these are all the patterns that we are to go forward. Of knowing the Word of God, of praying the Scriptures into your heart. The Lord will enable us through that to see victory over the temptations that come to cut off sinful habits. And yes, to resist the devil so that he will flee from us. Notice secondly, that we must go forward in our resolve to stand for the truth, to defend the truth of the Lord. Last Lord's Day morning, I reminded you of two men, Latimer and Ridley. In 1555, they were done to the death by Bloody Mary, burned. Why? Because they were preachers of truth. They were ones who were preaching the Word of God against the heresies of Roman Catholicism in their day. They were standing for the truth. They were defending the truth. And God required of them the absolute sacrifice of their life. They had presented their bodies on the altar of sacrifice for service. But it had come to a point for them when God required all. We have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We've reminded you in the past about how John Huss was burned at the stake in 1415 in Constance in Germany. Why was he burned at the stake? He was burned at the stake because, again, he was prepared to proclaim the truth of God's word against the current and popular heresies of the day, and against those who were leaders in Rome. Oh, friend, we've got numerous examples in church history and in Bible history of those who have had to stand for the Lord and defend it. And how, though in our day, will we be able to do that? We recognize, first of all, if we're going to go forward with God, it's going to be by our own private life with Him. It's also going to be by a determination to stand for the Lord, to stand for His truth in our families, among our friends, in the workplace, in our society. What God will require of us as a church fellowship in our generation, as the heat is being turned up against every faithful Christian witness in our time. Friends, we're not in a stable political environment. We're in a time when political leaders and forces are turning their hatred against the things of God. And every form of communication is coming out that is opposing the way of Christ. Let's not be surprised about this. Let's also not be like the ostrich and stick our head in the sand and think it's not happening in our time. It is happening. And we must be aware of it. And we must know the leading of the Lord as to how we are to make our defense and our stand in our time. But it's going to come, as it is in every period. In the third place, we must go forward against all opposition. For Israel, when they were hearing the chariots of Pharaoh coming after them, and the opposition of the wall of water in front of them, what were they going to do? Well, God opened up a way, and He told them to go forward. I'm not so sure how easy it was for them to take a step with the walls of water on both sides of them as they were walking across there. It was a pretty ominous situation. And that required faith for them to step through in that time. But they did. God gave them the strength needed. They had to overcome at that day an internal question. Am I going to believe? Am I going to follow and walk in this way? But there was the external opposition that was there as well. And our day is no different, because the challenges that we face, they must be overcome internally, first of all, as well as externally on the outside. We must continue patiently. The Lord tells us in Romans 2:7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. It's on the table in front of us. And we pray that God would strengthen our hearts and help us to press forward in all things. And I conclude with this, in the fourth place this morning, that we will go forward then in our service for God. The Lord calls us to be instant in our service for Him, and He's given us opportunities. And we want to use those God-given opportunities for Him, and we will do so with His joy. That's not so easy, is it? And if you're like me, you have to say, Lord, I need my joy increased. I need to have the joy of the Lord in my service. I need to pray, Lord, I know the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I want that to be evident in how I serve. I don't want to serve begrudgingly. I don't want to serve just out of duty. Lord, I want to go forward in serving the Lord with joy and with a sense of purpose, knowing that it is for the honor of my God. And ultimately, the Lord will be the one who gives the reward. If I don't even see it here on earth, if that's not so important, is it? But in promised, it will be there. How will, friend, you go on with God today? Well, it certainly will be by your resolve to serve Him, by determination that you're going to be personally engaged with the Lord. You're going to go on with Him in standing and defending the truth. But you can only do this by the power of the Holy Spirit that abides within, and by looking to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. I pray that you would be encouraged and challenged by the word this morning. And, unbeliever, don't forget the opening comments. Flee to Christ while you have time from the wrath that is to come. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, I pray that today the word of the Lord would come to every heart with great power. As my words are now silent, the Holy Spirit's words would continue. Lord, do what we cannot do. Glorify the Savior. And help us, we pray, to be faithful standing by, standing near, standing to defend the Word of God. Lord, equip us in our day. Help us to be instant in our service. Lord, bless us now. And I pray that as we gather once more this evening, we will know again the help of the Holy Spirit and the instruction of the Word of God to our heart. We ask in Jesus' name today. Amen.